This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Good morning and welcome to America's Web Radio. It's time for Medicine on Call, and we've got the doctor on the line and on call, Dr. Elena George. Good morning, Dr. George. You know, you're very wise not to come out. 19 degrees when I walked out this morning and came to the office.
That's kind of painful. I just couldn't brave it today. The cold and the traffic was just a little too much for me, but we still have a hot show, though.
That's right. We always have. I tell you, it's your favorite subject is getting hotter, it would seem. Obamacare. I heard the press secretary say, oh, well, what does it make any difference that we're playing tapes that are 6 and 8 and, you know, 4 and 5 years old? It doesn't really make any difference. Well, I personally think it's made a whole lot of difference.
Well, I hope it's awakened the masses to the fact that this thing was never designed to work the way it said it was. I mean, it's a cover. I mean, it's always been this Trojan horse for control. I've said it for the last 2 years. I really hate to be right about this, but it's pretty obvious that it's a bunch of elitist ivory. The guy, even Gruber, describes himself as an ivory tower professor. I mean, he's never worked, never really done anything except proselytize. It's unbelievable. I mean, it makes you really wonder what kind of people go into politics, what kind of people go into these think tanks, what their motivations are. I've never seen such, the worst case scenario of this is hubris, narcissism, contempt. They really do think they're the smartest people in the room, and they really could care less about the people that they're supposedly helping. He told the truth about what they think about Americans, whether they're seniors, young people, whether they're minorities, everybody. They can't stand us. I don't know why people on the left think that this ilk of people care about them. They have just used mind control and rhetoric to really just turn intellectual thought off. It's all driven by just some sort of, will, some blind will, where they control people by their emotions. And they know how to push these buttons. But this is what makes this so awesome that this tape is out. That anybody who has self-respect would think to themselves, are you kidding me? I'm not dealing with these people anymore. I'm now going to think outside the box and realize that this is not in my interest. Everybody who's pretty much, I can't say everybody because it's a blanket statement, but I think, in my opinion, a lot of the people who go along with this liberal, progressive mindset really have no clue what the heck is going on. They don't read. They don't actually do any due diligence. They just go along with what they're told to think. It's the worst case scenario. And now this guy is telling you, you're a moron, you're an idiot. We're just manipulating the system so that we can get this thing passed, which we all thought was the case. But he just admitted it. And then their answer to this is what she said. Well, it's so old, it doesn't matter. The ends justify the means. I never heard of the guy. I mean, I've heard of every single variation of it wasn't me that I've ever heard. I think instead of any kind of Hail to the Chief or theme music, they should put on that Shaggy song, It Wasn't Me. It was a couple, I guess, about 10 years ago now. That's a great song for the progressives. Anytime there's an issue, it's deny, deny, deny. I never knew about it. It wasn't me. I can't believe people actually come on the radio and TV and use that as an excuse. It's unbelievable.
Let me ask you, Dr. George. You and I have talked 1,000 times at this point, and you know how I felt about Mr. Obama from the get-go. But I guess this has bothered me more than anything else. Everything else you could sort of hem and haw and, yeah, well, maybe, yada-da-da-da. But when he came out in the other day from Australia, from Brisbane. Mm-hmm. I think it was 2 days ago, and he said, you know, this guy was nothing. He was never on our staff, yada-da-da-da.
Yeah.
And yet we have him on tape. We are in video. Noah, I mean, even praising the guy.
Uh-huh.
And I lost it. And I you know, any small amount of respect I had, I would have much rather him come out and said, you know, we made a mistake. And yes, I know the guy, and, you know, we made a mistake. I'm sorry, or anything. But to just totally come out and say he was nothing, and to know that he, that Gruber signed in to go into the Oval Office at least 12 times, I'm sorry, but you and I walking down the street, we don't get in the Oval Office unless we're invited.
That's for sure. And it's not just him, it's Pelosi, it's the pundits on progressive TV, and even the ones that come on Fox for that matter. Anybody who's been in favor of this law has been an apologist. Then, I mean, Pelosi says that they wrote the bill. They did not write the bill. And it's pretty obvious now that the Congress critters up in there only use this as a means to try to pass something that was so sweeping, that was so transformative to the country. And all they thought about is, we're pushing this through and we're going to use it, we're going to run on it, we're going to live and die by it. 28 of them did, thank goodness.
Mm-hmm.
And this was written by the insurance companies. This is a global treaty, is what they wrote. This is what it is. I mean, the theme of the show today is, I don't think that the Republicans have the chutzpah, the wherewithal, to change this bill. They're already backtracking. And the only way that we're going to keep them on their feet to the fire is to stay in their face and force them to repeal this bill. Some guy got on TV last night, some representative from Ohio, and he was asked repeatedly, why don't you just defund it? This is what Congress has to pay, the power of the purse. Why are you wasting time talking? Just defund the thing. You have the votes. Oh, no, we're going to send it up to the president's desk, and then he's going to have to veto it, and this is going to set us up for 2016. I don't want to hear about 2016. That is nonsense. Here we go again, where they're playing politics and they're gonna play chicken and try to massage this in such a way that they can, you know, put themselves in a position to get into the White House in 2016. As you and I said, and I think a lot of people have said, they try this, they will be out next. That's what they need to understand. We're not going to stand around and wait for you to play with us and hope for the best. We're dealing with the other side of the aisle who love to lie, they don't have a conscience. They don't have morals or ethics on the other side of that aisle. They will say, this is an example of them saying and doing anything to win at all costs. You can't win with people like that. You have to put them out of our misery in order to fix this situation. And the situation is so precarious now. This bill is online. The worst case scenario has already come to pass. And there's another part of Gruber's speech in that video where he talks about people being stupid. And he talks about the healthcare system, and he uses the term de-skilling the healthcare population, the medical doctors, the medical profession. Do you know what de-skilling means? That means exactly what I've been saying for the last 2.5 years, using nurse practitioners, physician assistants, increasing their scope, and he used the word, increasing their scope of practice in order to make the system run. There aren't enough doctors who will want to be in the system to run it. They need people who will just follow orders. I cannot say that strongly enough. They don't care about health. It's about cost control. It's about social engineering. It's about as much as gaming and skimming as much talent and money and health out of the people who, in this country, let them pay into the system, let them get as little as possible out of it, and when they're no longer of working age, then make them comfortable and get them off the rolls. That is their mentality. That is, I've used the term, you know, eugenics, euthanasia, whatever you want to call it. The bottom line is it's no longer going to be about do heroic measures to help people. And they're putting people, younger and younger people, in palliative care and hospice. It's ridiculous. You have a hip replacement or you have a hip surgery. You're 50-something. Maybe you have other medical problems. Maybe you have, you know, poor lung function or heart problems. They're not going 9 yards for you, you know, the extra mile for you anymore. If there's an issue, your butt's going to hospice, and they're making you comfortable. They're, you know, just slow walking you off this earth. Anybody who's in it knows what's going on. Anybody outside of it, if they're still drugged to the fact that, oh, it's just healthcare for all, healthcare for everybody, they're idiots because they're completely removed from reality. And another piece of this puzzle is 40% of Obamacare went to illegal immigrants. It didn't go to Americans. So that's another little piece of this puzzle. We're talking about adding people to the rolls who never paid in or have paid in very little, but they're also not citizens. And I thought the bill was supposed to apply to citizens. Not that I think the bill is all that, I hate the bill, but let's at least have it apply to what it said it was going to apply to. This is a joke. It's almost like you're transferring the country, the goods, the wealth of the country is being transferred away from Americans, and it's being divvied up amongst people who are just here because they're going to help the powers that be stay in power. It's as if they're just interchanging people now. It's totally illegal. Add 5 million people, you know it's going to be 30 or whatever the number is. It's just sickening. And sitting here on the front line, knowing that the Republicans and the Democrats both feed from the same lobby trough, that the insurance companies have now, there's an article came out in the Times, that the insurance companies are making so much money off of Obamacare through Medicaid and Medicare and Medicare Advantage, they are getting paid. I thought that they were going to get, you know, the short straw of this thing. I think they did too. But also remembering who wrote it, I guess I was a little naive to think that. Remember when it passed, their stock went up, their profits have gone through the roof, and I can tell you sitting on the other side as a doctor, what the people are paying in premiums, which have gone up through the roof, and co-insurance, et cetera, the insurance companies are not on the hook for as much money as they used to be because they've increased the patient out of pocket. All that means for the insurance company is I get to make profit on the premium, and I have to wait up to $10,000 before I have to kick in a dime for that patient. That's a win. They're going to fight tooth and nail to stop Obamacare from being reversed. And I think they're going to pour a ton of money up there behind the scenes to keep Republicans on the short leash so they won't do things that will actually kill it. That's my fear. And people need to know that so they can start raising their voices, getting in the face of their representative and let them know we're watching you. We're not going to take it.
With that, we need to take our first break. We'll be back with Medicine on Call. And by the way, I couldn't agree with you more. We've got to keep their feet to the fire, as they say. We'll be back.
There's no question.
Right after this.
This is Dr. Elena George with your health tip of the day. Did you know that snoring can lead to chronic health problems? Snoring can be a sign of sleep apnea. Snoring is simply noisy breathing that can disturb those around you. However, sleep apnea is a serious condition that leads to a decrease in oxygen in the blood. The brain and the heart are two organs that depend on oxygen to function well. Studies have shown that a lack of oxygen at night leads to weight gain, problems with memory and concentration, depression, high blood pressure, obesity, diabetes, and stroke. There are several ways to decrease snoring. For example, lose weight if you are overweight. Avoid alcohol at least 3 to 4 hours before bedtime. Stop smoking. Control nasal allergies to things such as dust and mold. And avoid eating dairy products such as milk and cheese. If you think you have sleep apnea, you should see a doctor to be evaluated. Please join me on Wednesdays at 9 a.m. for Medicine on Call. This is Dr. Elena George.
Did you miss a show that you really wanted to hear? All of our programs are available for download on AmericasWebRadio.com and on iTunes. You can listen to your favorite programs on AmericasWebRadio.com anytime you like.
This is Dr. George from Peachtree ENT Center. Understanding health insurance is becoming more challenging. If you currently have insurance, you've probably noticed that it costs more to see your doctor. And if you were able to keep your doctor, it takes longer to get an appointment. The bad news is this trend is projected to continue. Your costs will continue to rise while your healthcare choice and access will continue to fall. The good news is Peachtree ENT Center has the answer to this problem. We are committed to working with you. We specialize in providing affordable care for patients without insurance, those who are underinsured, and those with high deductibles or catastrophic coverage. And we offer same-day appointments. You no longer have to choose between staying healthy and paying bills because Peachtree ENT Center is where patient care counts.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
And we're back on Medicine on Call with Dr. Elena George. And I've got to say it, Dr. George. You're too modest to say it and too humble to say it. But you were fantastic on Fox and Friends on the Fox channel the other day, and you were on. I didn't realize you were on Monday. You didn't even call me and say, "Hey, watch it on Monday." I was watching Sunday and saw it, and then to be back on. We are so proud, and we are America's Web Radio is very fortunate, and we appreciate everything that you do. And you were great on Fox and Friends, and like I emailed you, gee, I wonder where I'd heard what you were saying. Before something about control.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I mean it's an honor to actually be able to have a voice. I mean, this is something that's been every doctor who's paying attention, from the AAPS doctors, doctors for patient care, any independent physician has been telling, you know, whoever would listen what I said when I was given the platform to say on Sunday. This is now a turning point, a crossroads that we're at. There is no way, I think we've learned from this past election, we can't sit back and let someone take care of us. This is not working. Their agenda is bigger than us. And this is, when they talk about global citizens and global, you know, governance, they're not joking on this thing. The healthcare system is one huge piece of our society that's been taken over by UN interest. I mean, this is, I understand banks are involved with this, the insurance companies are involved with this, the Congress has been, you know, let's face it, there's a lot of money floating up there, and it's very easy to turn your head and look the other way because it's all about getting in the next time, having somebody support you for your next round of elections. I mean, look at the Congress, I mean, the senator in Louisiana. I've never seen desperation like that in my entire life. I mean, she basically got up there for 3 hours and begged and pleaded for her colleagues to vote this for this pipeline, knowing that's going to be vetoed. It was a total political stunt. But even that, they basically dissed her yesterday. It was actually very gratifying. This is what they do. She will vote anyway, say anything, just to get in. And that's repeated 534 times, you know, in every 2 years, every 6 years. I mean, come on. If we don't stand up now, then we're complicit with this. That's how I see it.
I think you're 100% right, and I think that a little bit of a step forward, if the people elected, the Republicans elected, if they don't really perform, they have 12 months or they'll be kicked out, or they should be kicked out, and I think they will be kicked out. And when I say perform, they don't have to do away with Obama. They have to make substantial changes, and they can. They have both houses. They can override a veto if they want to. They can do anything that they want. They just have to get the fire lit, and we have to keep them aware that we're watching.
Well, you know, I'm looking at what they do, not what they say. The Congress as a whole it's very interesting if you look at this from, you know, 1,000 feet up. Mm-hmm. Nothing has changed. They have the same leadership that did nothing for the past 4 years. And that goes for the Democrats. And I can see now, there's a group of politicians or a group of Democrats and Republicans who are not happy with the status quo. The fact that Nancy Pelosi, I mean, this is another, this is how it works up there. This is so toxic. It's just nauseating. There's a, I think I forget her name. Her name is Tammy. I can't remember her last name. She's was a veteran. She's running for real. She's actually she's pregnant, so she has to. She's not in Congress, and they want to inhibit her from voting by proxy. And yeah, the reason they want to do that is because Nancy Pelosi wants her hand-picked person to win, so they want to stack the deck. Why is she still in power at all? Why don't they vote them out? And I noticed, too, there's a big push towards the liberals in their caucus are being very aggressive about pushing even more leftist agenda. So you've got Elizabeth Warren and those are people that they want to try to make the next generation. They got voted out. They got voted down because of those policies, yet they're doubling down on the same nonsense. I mean, and I think there's conservative or more conservative-leaning Democrats up there that are really not into this, but they're being shouted down by this really vocal minority.
Yeah, the lady that you're addressing is from California, and she's pregnant. She's a double amputee.
Right.
And, you know, well, we never have done this in the past. Well, maybe today is the time to start. You do a lot of things that you've never done in the past. Maybe today is the time that you change it.
Very good. I agree with that. I mean, but talk about war on women. This is the same woman. He's like, oh, everything's anti-woman. Well, why don't you do something? This is a veteran. This is a fellow colleague who should be able to vote by proxy. She's not on vacation. She can't come, right? I mean, anybody would have some sort of sympathy for that, but not this person, because she may vote against her agenda.
Yeah. Let me just ask you something. As you were talking, I have said this over and over again, and I even think about it more right now. You know, every representative, be it senator or representative, should be asked, exactly what have you done for our country? Have you served in the military? Did you serve in the Peace Corps? What have you done to deserve to be in that seat? And if they can't answer, I served in the military, or I did this, or I did that, oh, well, I've given the last 24 years of my life to being in Congress and serving my district. That's baloney. You've been there because the perks are better than you can get any place else in the world. What have you done for our country?
That's an excellent question. And, you know, I'm more and more thinking, getting the mindset, if you've been in academia for years on end, never held a job, never, you know, cut a payroll, then you shouldn't be up there making economic decisions or health decisions about anything. I mean, this guy Gruber is a complete, you know, non-entity. And he's deciding now, and with glee, who lives and who dies.
Mm-hmm.
With this smirk, this, I mean, it's just condescending. And the fact that you call seniors, they don't know how to run their economics. They don't know how to pick their plan. Well, anybody, I mean, I've talked to seniors. I mean, this is tragic what's going on with them. I got a letter from someone who says, you know, I make $600 a month in my Social Security, and I have to live off of that. I can't afford Obamacare. I don't know what I'm going to do. I mean, the desperation of these guys, they've worked their entire life, paid into the system, and this is how he wants to treat them. I find that to be nauseating, where you can just have people come into the country, jump the line. I mean, they're talking about people who aren't working age, who aren't going to have, I mean, let's just say, for all intents and purposes, okay, we let people in. At least have them come in at their working age, and they can pay into the system and actually get something out, you know, that they put in. These are young children coming in to actually be part of a social welfare system. They're going to take from society for years before they're really even of age to actually offer anything back. It's just an age thing. And they want this. They're looking for this. They want to overwhelm the system. They're saying now in California, I'm sorry, Texas, I think there's like five, I forget how many, but there's a lot of children coming into the Texas system, education systems all over the country. Now they're moving east. There's a trend towards the immigrant children and immigrants moving east. These are already systems that are overused. They don't have enough social welfare services. The Department of Child Welfare is just overwhelmed. I don't even understand how this system is going to work. Where are these folks going to go? I guess they're going to go into Section 8 housing so we can support them further. You're asking people who are coming from desperate situations, let's look at it totally objectively. If you're coming from a war-torn, you know, destitute situation, and you're put into an environment where you were told, promised, there's going to be a better life, and you end up in a situation where you're being abused, your children are in overcrowded schools, you're not given a job, you're not speaking the language, you're not educated, at some point anger will kick in. And at some point you will lash out at the first people that are convenient. That's the people in the society or in the environment that you're put into. That's working class people, that's people who are already on the fringe of society. And after they take advantage of them and do whatever, they will move out to the rest of society. This is human nature. And they're disarming people. They're telling you that you have no right to ask questions. You have no right to, like, where's my job first? I'm an American citizen. You're not even taking care of me. How do you put 30 million more people into our system and expect it to work? It's the same thing with health care. It already was bankrupt. It already was overpriced. And then what you did is you pulled the rug out from people who were covered, who were paying for their own insurance. They weren't part of the problem. They were part of the solution. What you did is you took away their rug, their ability to pay for themselves, and you've now foisted them onto the government rolls with subsidies and other carrots that you promised them. So basically, if you really wanted to cover 30 million people, all you had to do was expand Medicaid. Just do that. Don't blow up the private insurance system. So by definition, they didn't care about health care coverage because what they did is take a safety net and actually take something that was working and remove it. And the Cadillac insurance plans, which we don't talk a lot about, but I want people to understand what those are. Those are the insurance plans that aren't HMOs. Those are the ones you don't have to go through your primary care to get help if you want to go to a specialist or a specific clinic. You don't have to ask for permission. You're paying more, you should get more. Well, in, I think, 2015 or 16, they're going to be taxed at 40%. 40% surcharge will be put on those plans. Nobody will be able to afford them except the super wealthy. And that means people working for big business, you know, who have benefits, definitely small business owners, individuals. Those things will be gone. And that's what they want, because they want to really take people who are paying for themselves, and they want to get rid of the private insurance industry, and they want them all to go into Obamacare. And now actually I see why the insurance companies love this. Because all they have to do is have everybody jump into the Obamacare system where they're subsidized and where they're getting a kickback. I don't care what you want to call it, but I call it a kickback from the government to pay for this. Now I get it. So they're totally win-win. Whether or not there's a private insurance industry or not, they have the Medicare Advantage gravy train. Basically, it's bailing them out. They call it something else, but it's really a bailout. They're getting government subsidies to keep these people insured and covered. And the more they get, the more money they make. And then they get to run it the way they like, where they can just deny you coverage and care as much as they want. This is how it's working. That's your single payer. That's what will happen to us if we don't opt out of the system.
And it's worked so well in Europe and Canada.
Oh, yeah. Fabulous. That's why in the Netherlands they have euthanasia for people with dementia now. It's awesome. Liverpool Pathway, where they withhold food and water, what they cover. You have to be half blind. You have to be half crippled in order to in order to qualify for cataract surgery or hip replacement. They don't even really do ventilation tubes for kids anymore. Taking tonsils out, forget that. Basically have to have an abscess, airway obstructed practically, before they let you take them out. This is the future. You're looking at it, and I don't care what liberal nonsense they tell you. I live there. I think it's awesome because they've never been sick, or they pay for private health care. Right. These are the people who never opt into the system but tell you how great it is and how bad you are for saying, I don't want it. I think anybody should ask anybody who's a liberal who wants this, do you have Obamacare? Make them ask that question or answer that question before they start telling you how awful you are.
With that, we're going to have to take our second break. We'll be back with Medicine on Call and Dr. Elena George right after this.
This is Dr. George from Peachtree Ear, Nose, and Throat Center. Do you have problems with sinus pain and pressure? Do other people smell things that you don't? Have you lost the joy in eating because food just doesn't taste like it used to? Is your nose always stuffy no matter what you do? Maybe you have sinus or nasal polyps, a chronic sinus infection, or allergies that are either undertreated or have never been treated at all. At Peachtree ENT Center, we use state-of-the-art equipment so you can see the problem. You'll be a partner in your care, and together we will decide the course of treatment, because we believe in old-fashioned medicine, where we take the time to fix the problem, not just medicate the symptoms. We specialize in minimally invasive balloon dilation sinus surgery, correction of a nasal septal deviation, and turbinate reduction surgery that can be done in the office, getting you back to work the next day. And you can rest assured that all options will be discussed before surgery is recommended, because Peachtree ENT Center is where patient care counts. If you'd like to make an appointment, call 404-591-9100 or reach us on the web at www.peachtreeentcenter.com.
Did you miss a show that you really wanted to hear? All of our programs are available for download on AmericasWebRadio.com and on iTunes. You can listen to your favorite programs on AmericasWebRadio.com anytime you like.
This is Dr. Elena George with your health tip of the day. Did you know skipping doses of medication can be dangerous? If you have a chronic medical condition like diabetes or high blood pressure, it's important to take the medication prescribed by your physician. It is also important to remember that although you take a medicine to treat a condition, it is not a cure for the underlying medical condition. It is used to control it. For example, taking medication for diabetes will lower your blood sugar. However, if you stop taking the medication, the sugar will rise again. Changes in both diet and lifestyle, like adding exercise to your routine, are equally important. Working with your physician by following his or her recommendations is the key to controlling your disease and maintaining your health. Ask questions if you don't understand something. Taking control of your health is the key to wellness. Please join me Wednesdays at 9 a.m. for Medicine on Call. This is Dr. Elena George.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
And we're back on Medicine on Call with Dr. Elena George, and we have some very good conversations when the mic's off. And,
we do.
You know, everything is about control, and just like you've been saying for years.
I mean, I just want to give another example of this cozy relationship between the government and the medical insurance industry. You know, we talked about the disaster of the rollout of the healthcare.gov on the first year of the implementation. And it turns out that they turned to United Healthcare, something called the Optum Group, which they have about 1,000 spinoffs. They have one for hospitals to use so they can go through a gatekeeping service to figure out how to code and how to put their charges in or their orders in so they get paid by the government. So they have one that basically helped the online part of this, and they paid them a hefty sum of money to help fix healthcare.gov. I mean, so who stands to gain if the insurance companies are so intertwined in this system, from the way that hospitals have to farm out their documentation so they end up being compliant with the government, to running the online presence of healthcare.gov, to being advisors to the Secretary of Health and Hospital Services. It's just, I mean, it's intertwined. I mean, the fact that Gruber got paid not only by the government, but by the Justice Department, by the State Department. Why on earth? I don't even understand how a State Department would need to pay this guy for his expertise, supposed expertise in healthcare policy, unless this is a global system. And I've said it before, this ICD-10 is the last lock, you know, the last docking station that we have to go to in order to enter the global socialized medical system. That's that global identification system is in every other socialized medical system in the world. We're the last country that joins it. And they did it by subterfuge, they did it by lying, they did it by coercion. And he said as much. They did anything they needed to do, lie, cheat, steal, to fool us, those of us who, unfortunately, don't believe in self-responsibility. They fooled us into entering the system. And now it's blowing up in their face, because ultimately Americans are not, this is not something that we on average want. We want to have individual control over who we see, what our treatment options are. That's our mindset. We don't have the mindset of, like the Brits. I mean, I remember at one point, and I guess the Liverpool pathway is really what it morphed into, but seniors were not treated in that system. There was a certain age that you, once you reached it, they wouldn't be aggressive about your treatment. They would just make you comfortable. And that was the problem. And that's why people in the UK paid extra and went into the private system, because they knew, hey, at a certain point, I'm really not going to get care. And on the flip side, the people who were younger were, if they had money, paying into a private system because they didn't want to wait so long. And because the innovation and the power of medicine was outside of a socialized system. And it will be that way here as well. We talked about this. Direct care, direct pay medicine, the subscription model, concierge, everything else that's fee-for-service is going to blossom under this system. And if people are savvy, they will make deals with their doctors now. They will find direct pay doctors. They will go to, places like Doctor for Patient Care or APSonline.org and start to find an avenue around this. And now they're talking about trying to scare us into, oh, the fines are going to go up for Obamacare, $394 a year. It was 90, and I believe the $90 is this year. The 394 is next year. So it hasn't even come online that it's going to be 300, but they're trying to make it seem as if this year it's going to be more expensive. It's just fear-mongering. And if you really think about it, if you had sense and the money, you would pay the 394 because it pales in comparison to paying $1,200 a month for the privilege of getting denied. I'll pay that times one, big deal, and then go to direct care, go fee-for-service, whatever, because it actually is in your favor. Yes, it might be 1% of your gross, or 2%, I think, in 2015, but think about $24,000 for a family of four, or what is the other one, or, geez, I forgot the number, $12,000 for an individual. That's what you're paying for the bronze plan, and up when you start talking about silver and gold plans. So you actually do save money. You do keep your privacy. You are able to see a doctor who can do whatever it takes to get you healthy instead of being told what they can't do. And it's perception. They want you to think that you have one choice and that the government option is the only choice. Everything else, you will starve or you'll die. You won't be able to survive in that system. And it's actually the opposite. As soon as you get in this rat trap, you may not come out. So I think you should make your decisions accordingly. And, for those folks who want Obamacare, God bless you. Have at it. I wish you all the best. I don't want it. And for people who don't want it, we should be given a choice. That's what our country's built on. It's not one size fits all. It's not dumbing down. It's not, core curriculum medicine. It's not like that. We don't want that. And so if we don't, we need to let the powers know that we're not handling it. We're not taking this from you. And we'll vote you out until we get somebody who's going to do what we want, not what you want. I mean, they're just so naked about, the election didn't matter. The Republicans are basically telling us that when they're telling us they're going to slow walk our repeal. We're just going to nibble at the edges. We don't want nibbling. We want this thing gone. That's why you got voted in. If we don't let them know that, they will go about business as usual.
Back to our Mr. Gruber and his remark about us voters being stupid, I think us stupid voters are going to be the ones that reject Obamacare, reject health insurance, and just like you said, start going out of the box, getting what we want, paying for it, and showing that we don't need the government telling us what we are or what we're not going to do. And I think it will be a snowball reaction at some point, and we'll go back to having insurance for what insurance was initially meant to be. When you have a major, we used to call it hospitalization, you know?
Right.
That's what it was called, and that's when you had a rare accident or a case or something, and you needed, but anything else you paid for out of your pocket. It was catastrophic insurance, basically, and that's, I think we're going to show Mr. Gruber that us stupid folks have an answer for his Obamacare.
I think it's a fundamental mindset that the people who are proponents of this progressive mentality, this mindset, is that people overall are too stupid to run their lives, to make decisions, to be responsible. I mean, they think, you know, that we're basically parasites. And that whole global warming mindset is that people are the problem, that we need to be removed, that there are too many people on this in this world, and they're the ones that are damaging it. When in actuality, it's these global elitist, you know, big business types who are completely robbing and raping the system and resources and blaming us for it. You know, we have more, and I'm saying it, this is another theme of the show. Whether you know it or not, you as an individual have much more power than these people. All you have to do is say, I'm not going to go the way you want me to go. I'm not going to do what you expect me to do. That's what they thrive on, that. They drive us by fear. They do it all the time. This is, Obamacare is only one iteration of it. They create these false lack, you know, situations. We talked about it in the break, Keystone Pipeline. Do we really need that when we have buku oil in our own country that we're not trying to go for, or that we've been basically stopped from refining? They've created this debt, this lack of resources. If we just stop for a minute and use what we have, we won't have to be dependent on anybody. But this is all created. Now they're creating a healthcare crisis where there's not enough doctors. The rural hospitals are closing because they can't afford to stay open anymore. Now you've got people in rural situations where they have to drive 20, 30 miles to a main hospital to get care. This is all because the government has stepped into this and decided who the winners and losers are and forced a fake economic situation into place. The big hospitals only are big because they had the money and they had the resources to buy up their competition. And they didn't provide, and they're not providing better services. They've actually ruined the healthcare system. You know, I think there was a bill in the late 40s that actually was put online to help and create rural hospitals. It was after the Second World War. And it was designed so that people could get care and not have to drive long distances, that it would actually improve the quality of care. Now we have a situation where these hospitals are now closing because they can't compete with the systems, the healthcare systems that have sprung up in every big city in this country. And these healthcare systems stink, all right? They don't have enough doctors to run the ER, the on-call doctors, because they've been paid so poorly. They don't have specialists. So you can end up in a hospital that doesn't have ENT coverage or OBGYN coverage. They have to put you in an ambulance and ship you miles away to another hospital that does. That is ridiculous. In my opinion, you shouldn't even have an ER that's open unless you have everybody, every specialty represented on call for that hospital. You should not have to have a system with a call center where you have to get into an ambulance and incur another. I mean, think about this, Dave. You go into a community hospital, what's left of them, or some satellite. They don't have coverage, but that ER takes you in. Well, they get to charge you for that visit, even though they didn't have anybody on staff that could take care of you, but you just incurred a bill because you went there. Then you incur another bill for the ambulance to take you to the hospital that has the coverage. So it's a double dip. You get billed twice. That shouldn't even be allowed. This is the system that they've created. And because they want to de-skill the medical force, because they want to know, they want bodies to run it, and they want algorithms. They've put algorithms in place to help the lower-skilled physician assistants, nurse practitioners run it, then you've ended up hiring more people. It costs more money because people don't really understand what the diseases are that they're treating. I'll give you an example. Yesterday I saw a lady.
Okay, I got to break in. We got to take a break and hold that thought, and we'll be right back with Dr. Elena George right after this.
This is Dr. Elena George with your health tip of the day. Did you know that dizziness may be a sign of heart disease, iron deficiency, high or low blood pressure, low blood sugar, or an inner ear infection? Dizziness can take the form of a spinning sensation, also known as vertigo, or a feeling of lightheadedness. The individual can also feel faint or have a rapid heartbeat. If you take high blood pressure medication, remember to take the medication daily as directed to control your blood pressure. Diabetics must remember to eat after taking their medication and to eat at regular intervals. If you have anemia, make sure to take a multivitamin that contains iron and to eat vegetables such as spinach. Dizziness after a cold or flu may be due to a virus. If you have dizziness, it is important to see your doctor for a complete physical examination. Please join me Wednesdays at 9 a.m. for Medicine on Call. This is Dr. Elena George.
With all the back and forth in today's politics, it seems as though the Constitution gets lost in the mix. If you want to brush up on your Constitution, then join Michael Conley every Wednesday from 4 to 5 p.m. for the show Our Constitution on AmericasWebRadio.com.
This is Dr. George from Peachtree Ear, Nose, and Throat Center. We've won patient care awards and have the highest patient recommendations because I believe in practicing medicine the old-fashioned way. Practicing good medicine is based in listening to the patient and making a care plan that's individualized. The best medical care is given when there is a strong doctor-patient relationship built on mutual trust and respect. At Peachtree ENT Center, we believe in taking care of the whole patient because healing is more than writing a prescription. Whether you have problems hearing or your child has frequent throat infections, from the time you call our office and speak to a real person, you'll be treated as an individual, not an ailment. During your visit, you'll not be rushed, and all of your questions will be answered. And when possible, I will recommend natural treatments to fix the problem. If surgery is recommended, cost-effective, minimally invasive treatment for snoring, sleep apnea, or sinus problems will be offered, because Peachtree ENT Center is where patient care counts. If you'd like to make an appointment, call 404-591-9100 or reach us on the web at www.peachtreeentcenter.com.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Welcome back to Medicine on Call. I just wanted to finish that thought about my patient who came in yesterday who had a lump on her neck, and it was an infection of the salivary gland. So she had gone to an urgent care, was seen by somebody who was told, oh, I think you have an infection, but they proceeded not to treat her. Why on earth would you go into an urgent care, no antibiotic, no blood test, no workup, and she was told to go see a specialist. And I'm sure she spent money for that visit. This is what I'm talking about. A system that is completely ridiculous, where you spend money with someone who doesn't understand pathophysiology, doesn't have expertise in when to order a test, doesn't think, not trained enough to really think. And let's go, I'm not dissing nurses or physician assistants. They have a role, but their role has been, their scope of practice has been expanded. That's what Gruber wanted. That's what the Affordable Care Act does. They actually put money into training nurse practitioners, nurse assistants, the extender healthcare population. They make this easy for them. When you hear this stuff on TV, oh, you can be a medical assistant in 6 weeks, 12 weeks. These are the people on the front line. These are the people who are in hospitals taking your blood pressure and doing the vitals. And again, I'm on the front line of this. Somebody who's very close to me, whose son was ill, told me that when his son was in the hospital, the person who was coming in taking his blood pressure was putting in the same numbers. They didn't even do the blood pressure. They didn't take his respirations. And this child was critically ill. There is no attention to detail. There's no ethics here. We're talking about people who are just told to put something down and they do it. This is not a physician. There is no Hippocratic Oath. There is no ethic or moral obligation to be an advocate for your patient. You're just there for a paycheck. You're just there to put dot it in I, cross a T, put it in the chart. Another nurse told me that most codes happen early in the morning because the people who are supposedly take care of the people overnight and doing their vitals don't. So they find people who are already passed away early in the morning when the shifts change. This is the environment we're talking about. We're not talking about quality health care. We're talking about go along, get along. And I use the term glibly, but honestly, I believe this. There will be plugs pulled all over America as Obamacare kicks in. Good luck if you end up in a hospital. And I recommend highly, if you have a loved one in the hospital, you need to be up in there. You need to actually know that doctor, make yourself known, and be in their face, because they're not advocates. They are no longer advocates for you and your loved one. They work for the hospital. They're getting a paycheck by the system. If your person is sick or they deem not worth, you know, heroic measures, they will put them on morphine. They won't tell you this, but they'll just do it. And they don't have an obligation to tell you anymore. They have bioethics committees that get to decide who lives and who dies and how aggressive that they're going to be about your with your loved one. And you're not in this meeting. So wake up. All right? This is a system it's toxic. It's immoral. It's unethical. And it's all based on cost control and money, not health care. And while they try to tell you, and they've been saying this, that, oh, you want people to die. You hate foreigners. You hate women because you're against Obamacare. Every time they tell you this, you know that it's them that actually believe this. But they've been using subterfuge, lies, coercion, and just basic, you know, whatever, the Alinsky playbook, to play you. Now, if you really understand this, it makes it easy to be very aggressive about handling your business and being an authority in your health care. You have to be. And that means, from the beginning, you need to pick a doctor who gets it, who actually is a doctor and not an employee somewhere. Any doctor who's working for a hospital lost their autonomy ages ago. They have to do maintenance of certification. They have to jump through these hoops. They have to follow the algorithms and protocol of the hospital. Otherwise, they're deemed to be, a troublemaker. And they'll be out of business, or they'll be kicked out, or they'll be ostracized by the hospital and their colleagues. You're not interested in being in that kind of environment. Then I suggest that you find a direct care, direct pay doctor. Go to we talk about it every week, to doctors who are independent, who actually have to run a business, who actually have taken the Hippocratic Oath, who actually are willing to make it cost-effective by cutting out the middleman, the compliance, all of the gatekeeping that the government is making doctors do. When they talk to you about meaningful use and accountable care organizations and medical homes, you should run the opposite way, because they're all designed to keep you from the best iteration of healthcare and the cheapest iteration of healthcare that you can possibly have. And as long as you guys know that and you start making proper decisions for your, take responsibility for your health, you will not end up, you know, on the short end of the stick. And when that happens, the system will take notice and pull back from this cliff that it's on right now. We have the power of the purse if we decide to take it. And as long as they pull the strings and they pay into the system for us, like they love us, we're going to be knocked off earlier than we want. We're not going to get proper care. We're just going to be told to make us comfortable, give us medications, 1,000 medications which don't work overall, and cost the bank, and you're still sicker than you ever were, and there's still cancer rates going through the roof. Now everything's a vaccine. I mean, come on. The system sucks. Honestly, it doesn't work, and just because they keep saying it does doesn't make it true.
That's a very interesting point, because this is what we've had for years now. They, just like you said, just because they say it works doesn't make it true, and yet that's over and over again. How many times have we heard that it's working, the new system's working, the new website's mm-hmm. working, this is working, that's working. Oh, well, there was a little bitty glitch, but no big deal. It's working.
Yes, it's working. It's working. It's actually working to break your will, to make you sicker, to make you more dependent, and to change your economic well, to remove your economic independence. Remember, if you take a subsidy, you have to pay it back. And if you pass away, your estate will have to pay it back. I mean, this is the system. You know, it's, you don't have a choice. Once you enter it, you've lost your autonomy, you've lost your privacy, you've lost your ability to exit the system. It really, if you're on a, in an economic, you know, tipping point, it's going to be very difficult to come out of the system because you're going to owe money. They're going to take your tax. They already said it. They're taking your tax return. That's how they will control the purse strings on this. So if you take a subsidy and you get a better job the next year, the IRS knows this, and they will actually dock you for your tax return. Oh, they haven't figured out what happens to people who don't have to pay taxes. You know, they never get a tax return. They're not sure how they're going to enforce it on them. But the people who depend on the tax returns are the most vulnerable. So now you have the working middle class who are really being just socked with this bill. While they told you, oh, it's only Warren, people like Warren Buffett are going to pay more into the system. Oh, we're going to have the insurance companies subsidize it. They're going to take it on the chin, not you. Yeah, really? Just remember, it all rolls downhill. So when they tell you it doesn't affect you, trust and believe it affects you. And when it does, you don't even know it hit you until it's already hit you. That's the sad part about it.
When you were a little girl and you got sick, did your mother call somebody down the street from where you lived that she didn't know to come take care of you, or did your mother take care of you?
My mother took care of me. I remember getting up in the middle of the night to give me my medication, to put Vicks on me. It was my mom, period.
So isn't this the same thing that the government's trying to do now? Don't take care of yourself. Don't let your family take care of you. The government will take care of you. Well, I don't know who you are from the government.
Well, it's exactly right. And what they're looking at, the bigger picture, the good of the many outweigh the needs of the few. That's the collectivist mentality. And you should Google that. Listeners should look that up, because what that means is centralization of power, of decision-making, of taking away from the individual to run their own lives and having it centralized so that people like Gruber, the smartest people in the room who've never had a job, know nothings, get to decide everything about you. Whether you're allowed to have a big gulp, whether your kid should eat, you know, one chicken McNugget and a spoonful of potatoes, whether they should have, you know, this core curriculum nonsense. They're deciding this centrally. They're deciding what's in the textbook, so that we don't really learn American history anymore, and what we do learn, we're all awful, so we should want to be communists. All sorts of things are coming out. And the healthcare system, well, you know, if you're sick, you should just want to take an extra morphine because you're costing everybody too much and you've outlived your usefulness. And they're actually, I just read an article, too, from an alumni magazine where one of the alumni in my college is going out and lecturing on how people who are sick at the end of life, seniors, should want to die because they're taking up too much resources. They're making it cool to actually pull the plug on your grandparent or your parent, and because they should want you to pull it. You know, it's not fair for you to want to prolong someone's life. Who are you to say that to me?
With that thought, we're going to have to leave it there. We're out of time. Dr. George, as always, thank you for another great show and telling it like it is. And
that's what I do. And people can follow me on Medicine on Call. Tweet me Twitter at Medicine on Call. And Facebook, Medicine on Call.
We'll be back next week with more Medicine on Call. Stay tuned.
This is America's Web Radio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.